Good evening, and welcome to our regular scheduled meeting here on February 22nd at 7 o'clock. If I can ask Sarah to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Cargi? Trustee Cargi? Looks like you're muted. Thank you. Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Iduzzi?
Here. Okay, can I ask you to please stand if you might and say the Pledge of Allegiance with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have a few comments. What I'm going to do, it sounds like there are some that fit 9A, B, and C, so I'm going to ask those citizens that want to talk, we'll talk when we get to that, which will be soon. So the first up is Dawn, Ms. Gala. Is Dawn on? I didn't see Dawn. Okay. Next up is Lori Gillard. Lori?
Hello. My name's Lori Gillard. I live at 227 Forest. And first, thank you, Village Board of Trustees, for your time and attention. As you're aware, I'm a former member of the Ad Hoc Deer Committee, and the other former members and I are preparing a separate proposal for the Community Deer Management Program. So we look forward to presenting a constructive guide and with the input of experts, as well as information gathered during our year of discussions. So we would like to request that the proposal submission date be moved back to the original date of March 9th, with the intention of having the trustees review the vote and vote on the proposal by the end of March. I'm aware the date was extended as a courtesy to us, so thank you, but we don't need the extra time. As it turns out, you know, we're ready to go. So we believe really that the pandemic has prolonged the deer issue long enough, and the community, I think the community would really like to see a plan in place. So thank you. Those are my comments.
Okay, thank you, Lori. Asbla?
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Yep. Good evening. Thank you. My name is Oscar Cosbor. I live at 1235 Monroe Avenue. And tonight I am speaking in support of Mr. John Grant's recent recommendations to the River Forest Village Board for advisory body member selection, which he dated February 8th, 2021. Given my past experience of how members of advisory bodies are selected in River Forest, I fully support Mr. Grant's suggestions. Of particular importance is Mr. Grant's idea of power sharing with strong checks and balances. Currently, as I understand it, the process of building advisory bodies in River Forest is primarily the purview of the village president selecting candidates from a candidate pool and presenting those candidates to the village board for a mass vote on the body. The pool of candidates and backgrounds is closely held by the village president. The village trustees do not get a chance to delve into the background of the candidates in the pool. This process has no safeguards against cronyism, whereby the village president can select those candidates supporting the village president's agenda, but not necessarily be in the interest of the majority of River Forest residents. This leaves a dangerous situation in which a select few handpicked candidates influence the goings-on of the village. This clearly goes against the principle of diversity, equity, and inclusion. This cronyism risk must be corrected in the current broken process of advisory body selection. Having the village trustees intimately involved with the selection of the candidates will go a long way to improve the process. I respectfully and strongly request that Mr. Grant's suggestions be seriously reviewed, considered, and implemented by the board, by the village board, in the very near future. Thank you for your time, and I ask that my comments be attached to the minutes of this meeting. I will submit these comments after this meeting.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, the rest of the comments, citizen comments, we'll get to in just probably a second here. They're all related to 9B, A, B, and C. So I don't think I've missed anybody. So we'll go ahead with the elected official comments and announcements, and I'll start with Trustee O'Connell, please.
Thank you.
Excuse me,
good
Kathy.
Evening, everyone.
Excuse me,
I
Kathy.
Got a couple things
yeah,
this
hello.
Evening.
Well, hang on, Bob.
Can everybody mute your line, please?
I'm sorry, Bob. My comments are both related to the board and commission members, as well as the DEI. So I don't know when you want to handle that.
I'm sorry, Mindy. Then I will
go ahead, Mindy.
Go ahead and hang on. Go ahead, Mindy. Then go ahead and speak on. Well, we're going to get to A, B, and C. So,
all right. If you want, I'll wait.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bob. Thank you, Mindy.
Okay, first of all, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting. First off, I want to congratulate the team on the execution of the coordination of getting the COVID vaccines out. Village President Aducey, Lisa Steiner, John Pape, Sarah, the folks at D90, the fine folks at Jewel-Osco, and most importantly, as we're all hearing about, the biggest issue as it relates to getting COVID shots is a coordination. And so whoever was on the coordination side of things did a bang up job. I got a phone call from a member of my extended family who said how easy it was to do it and how happy they were that they're gonna be able to get in and get that done. So again, a big round of applause to the team for pulling that off and getting that done in such a timely and expeditious manner. The second thing on my list this evening is, you know, like a lot of us, we've all been watching the icicles on the side of our house over the last couple of days. I've noticed that the ones on my house are starting to dissipate, but I think with the melting snow, it sounds like we're going to have kind of a slow defrost, but with the melting snow and the frozen ground, we're going to have another issue, and that's where we're going to see a lot of backyard flooding. And so I just want to remind residents that the village does have 3 pumps. John Anderson, I don't know if we have any more or if that's still the current amount. But if you have an issue, contact the Public Works Department and they'll let you borrow a pump for a short period of time to pump out your backyard. And then the other thing that all of us can kind of do is if you grab that shovel and you're trying to break up a little bit of ice, head out into the street, make sure that the catch basins are clear. You know, I don't know that we need to, get the whole fleet of trucks out to clean off the edges of the street. But as the streets start to flood a little bit, that's a nice little thing to do for your neighbors to make sure that the standing water in the street is cleared out. So those were my couple of things this evening, and I look forward to this evening's discussion.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Trustee Hennig?
Thank you. I want to welcome everybody. It's nice to see we have another full house, so to speak. I want to echo Trustee O'Connell's comments regarding the vaccine distribution. I was very pleased to see that was planned and organized. Great to see more and more people getting the vaccine. It's so important. So thank you for everyone who put in effort to make that happen. I also want to thank our Public Works for the phenomenal job they did with this heavy snow we had recently. But I did have a question, John, maybe you could answer. Where are we in terms of fire hydrants being unburied? Is it looking pretty good? I mean, and my question is actually twofold. Having walked around the a little bit the other day this weekend and hearing some residents concerns regarding some sidewalks not being clear. I know there were some sidewalks, you know, coming up to crossing the street, just with the plows putting snow back onto the sidewalk there. So I'm just wondering between the fire hydrants and some crosswalks, if there's some way we can kind of address that, if there's still an issue, could we perhaps tap some service clubs or some teams that are looking for volunteer work to help us clear out some of these areas if needed?
Right, right. So the hydrants.
Hang on, I'm going to remind everyone to please put your, excuse me, John, in 1 minute, Patty. If I can ask everyone to put your phone or Zoom on mute, please, for now. Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying the hydrants, the fire department, when they have time, they go out street to street and get those cleared of snow. But we also ask residents to do that if they're able to.
Right.
And then as far as the crosswalks go, the major streets, we go up and down with the Bobcat to try and clear those blockages that you're talking about. And then the other ones throughout the village, those are done by adjacent property owners, but hopefully those will go away and melt over time here. But we're catching up to those types.
Okay, so you are able to.
Yeah.
I was out earlier on Saturday. So you are taking time with the Bobcat to clear that crosswalk. Okay, perfect. That's just what I wanted to make sure. And I know there's been comments on Facebook, people trying to encourage neighbors to help out, particularly, you know, any neighbors that maybe aren't able to do it themselves. So as much as we can keep reminding people to do that, that would be great. Okay, and then the last clarification question I had in terms of our meetings in March, I know typically we end up having just one meeting with spring break schedules. Is that the case too? Are we only going to have the meeting on March 8th?
Yeah. I think that's what we're looking to do because of the spring break.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that might be the case, but I just wanted to confirm that. So that's it for now. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Katie?
Thanks, Kathy. I thought I should acknowledge the milestone that we hit today in the U.S. with 500,000 deaths due to COVID. And President Biden held a moment of silence just exactly 2 hours ago. And also asked that we lower the flags, I believe, for 5 days. So to acknowledge that, and also just to thank all of our residents and businesses and people who come through River Forest and work in River Forest for their continued diligence. We're getting close. I know a lot of people are getting vaccinated. I'm close to that yet. Many of us aren't. Many of us have been touched by COVID and losses during COVID, personally, emotionally, financially. So if we could just keep holding fast, keep masking up, don't make unnecessary trips, keep your distance. We're getting close, but we're not there yet. And then two other things, and they both have to do with public work. So John Anderson, you're the man of the hour tonight. I actually wanted to thank you, thank Public Works in general, for all the work that you did in advance of the snow that we've had in these past couple of weeks, preparing for it and then cleaning up from it. And I personally have watched them dig out, or have watched Public Works dig out the fire hydrant across the street from, I know they're doing it. And then the final thing is also Public Works. I wanted to circle back on a discussion that we had a week or so ago about Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus ComEd partnership grant opportunity for powering safe communities. And it's a $10,000 grant for electrification projects, and such as electric vehicle infrastructure and electric vehicle charging stations. And I know we have an email exchange about that, John. And the deadline is in for a month, March 26th. I know Public Works has been very busy, but I wanted to make sure that we're confirmed to apply for that.
Yes, we will. And in fact, I'm meeting with a vendor Wednesday for a location for a potential charging station right on Central near the angled spots next to Village Hall. So we are pursuing that grant.
Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Well, Katie, since you brought up the 500,000 deaths, this is a good time to take a moment of silence, as you requested. Maybe as a group of residents here, just in thinking of everyone involved with COVID-19 and unfortunate deaths. So, please. Thank you very much. And I will ask the chief fire if we could lower the flag, I think for 5 days, I think that's a good request. And Chief Bowman, I
think. Yeah, we can do that.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Katie. Okay, Kathleen is not here, so we'll go around and it's Trustee Vasquez.
Hey, thank you, and good evening, everyone. Three items. The first is a thank you to our plant works for all the work they did in keeping up with the snow removal and the ice. So you guys do a terrific job. But I also want to add in our police department and our fire department. I know during these last storms, I've seen the fire trucks and the police racing down, I'm sure helping people, and maybe a block away from me, I saw that they were there too. So kudos to all of you working during these difficult, challenging climate weather. So thank for that. Thank you for that. Also, big thank you for everyone who participated in this Saturday's vaccine clinic update. It was a great collaboration from the village. We had Kathy, Lisa, Sarah, John, but I also want to add in Helen Kwan and our River Forest response team that also participated in helping our seniors if they needed assistance in registering. Also thanking District 90, in addition, Jewel Osco for participating, and also our First Presbyterian. Combination of government, education, school district, and our business, as well as one of our community members. So it's a great collaboration, and I heard nothing but good things. And I was glad that we filled up all the positions or appointments. I'm sad that it was only 500, but 500 was at least taken up and utilized from everybody. So thank you all for that. Last but not least, I just wanted to give a quick report. Our age-friendly committee met on February the 10th. We pretty much collected a number of questions relating to the survey to conduct our needs assessment. So this month, what we've been doing is trying to either combine or limit the questions, and particularly cater to or narrow them down to what's relevant for River Forest. So that's what we're going to be working on now. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rez. Thank you very much. Trustee Kargi?
First, Public Works, as everyone, congratulations on a job well done. I did have a question in driving around during the worst of the snowstorm. There were a number of side streets that had cars parked on. I know that the village ordinances require removal of cars from the street, but is there anything we can do to enforce that? Because a lot of times, especially with the tall snow, the amount of snow that we had, it makes the streets where they're going around the car somewhat impassable. So I don't know what to do. I don't have a solution to the problem, but to me, it seemed to me that was a significant problem when we had the worst of the snow. And John, maybe you can speak to that. I don't know. It probably is an impossible issue, but it just seems to me that makes your job so much harder when your guys have to, you know, when you're tandem plowing, you got to go around a car.
It is difficult, right? And I know the police ticket those vehicles, but sometimes it's tough to locate the driver of the vehicle, you know, especially if it's in the middle of the night. So. But you're right, and we try and work with residents so they're not, you know, unduly hindered by that. But especially the next day, if those cars are still there, then it exacerbates the problem. So I know the police do a good job of trying to track down the vehicle owners.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was just something that I noticed. I hadn't really noticed it before, but then I don't remember a snowfall like this one in a while. Also, thanks to Kathy, to Lisa, to John, to Sarah, the D90, everyone that participated, but especially to the senior response team, because it seems to me that that was the most effective part. I wish that maybe the state of Illinois would employ Helen Kwan and the senior response people, because it seems the state generally is having a difficult problem getting the needles in the arms, and it appears that we did it flawlessly. So I really tip my hat. That was great news to hear. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. Trustee Bachner?
Hi, thank you. Everyone, I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still is inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I don't have enough thanks for our community and all our departments in our village for the work that they've done around the snow and the ice in the winter season, and for around the coordination of the vaccine appointments this weekend. I know that there were a lot of people who were on call who aren't normally to help out with that. So just thank you to everyone for that. And I think that's it for me.
Very good. Thank you, Erica. I just have a few things. Yes, I want to echo everyone's comments about the snow removal. John, to you and your team did an awesome job. I do want to emphasize there are spots in around River Forest that are not necessarily our spot. Like I know Forest Preserve along the Harlem and Lake need to be plowed. I know got a call regarding some around the businesses like CVS and other places. So I've talked to Lisa about that. So hopefully we can ensure that, I was over by CVS and you cannot walk. There's no walkway. So I think we're on it, and I appreciate all that you do. Thank you. I too want to thank Lisa, Sarah, John Pate, and D90, Joel Osco, who helped us secure the 500 doses. And of course, First Presbyterian to help us do the logistics. Of course, the doses will be administered this Friday, and then the second, I think 3 weeks later. We were very happy and pleased to hear that we were able to get those doses, I think our seniors are very happy as well. I also want to acknowledge Helen Kwan and the senior response team, and all the volunteers as part of that team. I talked to a few of them today. I just can't believe just how gracious everybody is here in River Forest. People who've called and said, I will pick anybody up. I will take anybody anywhere. It's just awesome. And I want to thank everybody for their, just being so gracious to our seniors who are much in need right now. I want to also, today I met with, the West Suburban CEO, just to talk a little bit about their facility that they have here in River Forest. They are going to have a little event on Thursday. Everybody's invited, all the elected officials. If you haven't gotten a formal invitation, hopefully you will. And they're just going to announce some of the new technology that they're bringing into the medical center over there. And of course, we're very happy that they're part of our community. As I mentioned to Barb, the CEO, they're one of our biggest taxpayers in our community. So we are glad that they're here, and we'll continue to work with them in any way. So that's all I have for that. So we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. And I'd ask if I can get a trustee to move consent agenda A through G.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
Any questions on the consent agenda?
The only one I had was from the legal bill. Lisa, I'm assuming that was more documentation to the bill they sent, that we just got the cover page.
Yeah, that's correct. The bill detail for the legal bills, particularly where labor and employment law is concerned, would be considered confidential. Certainly we review those. This is not a typical bill for the broad reasons I explained in my memo.
I understand, I just wanted to make sure.
Sure.
Okay, if I can ask Sarah to please read the consent agenda and then take the vote.
Item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, February 8th, 2021. Item B, renewal of intergovernmental agreement with O'Hare Noise Compatibility Commission resolution. Item C, approval of payment to Clark Baird Smith LLP for legal services in the amount of $31,610. Item D, monthly department reports. Item E, monthly financial report. Item F, performance measurement report. Item G, village administrator's report. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Okay, so we're going to move on to 9A, and we do have some public comments along 9A. So, John Grant, you're up first, please. John? Shannon?
Here I am. Hello, my name is John Grant. I have been a River Forest resident for approximately 14 years. And I would like to follow up tonight on the comments that I made at the previous two village board meetings, advocating for the village board to create more formal democratic institutions for many aspects of village government, including the governance of advisory bodies that report to the village board. I note that my two-page report to the village board, which contains some initial suggestions on possible changes, can be found in the packet for tonight's meeting. I want to clarify that my hope is that this report could provide the start of a conversation, not some type of final solution. I am not an attorney and I do not have professional expertise on the inner workings of government. So my suggestion should be taken as a good faith effort to use what I have learned over the last several weeks as a conversation starter. It would not be productive at this early point to engage in a premature debate about the technicalities of particular aspects of this report. The truth is, the exploration of this topic should go well beyond the ideas in that report. Having said that, I do want to say something about the overall approach to the subject. While I do think it would be very helpful for an attorney to provide consultation on the nuts and bolts of some of the operations of the village board and the village board's governance of advisory bodies as early as possible, I would also urge the board and any consulting attorney to think outside the box with an attitude not of what can't be done, but what can be done. We have all seen times when somebody has said something can't be done and then somebody else figured out how to do it. I'm very grateful that the board has allowed me to come before them and present this issue, and I thank the board for placing this item on the agenda. I look forward to the board exploring this issue. I do want the board to know that if you would like further input from me, I'm very happy to do so. I would be very willing to continue doing any research that is desired or working with staff or other municipalities or further reaching out to residents or otherwise advancing the work on this issue in any way that the board would ask. I want to thank any residents who are making public comment tonight in support of reforming these issues, as well as the 20 or so residents who also submitted emails of support today to the village board. It's clear from these comments and emails that there is wide support for undertaking these reforms. These emails and comments also show that residents have very unique perspectives that will add value to the discussions and solutions. If the board has any questions for me tonight or any other time, I'm always available. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Jan?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Okay. I have a statement that I wanted to make that was a non-agenda item. And also to ditto all the comments about the vaccine. But first, I want to thank Chief O'Shea for your fine presentation at the previous board meeting on five African-American police officers, giving us something to reflect on and consider during Black History Month. And thank you to Chief O'Shea and Commander Greenwood for introducing the River Forest Police Department adoption of the 10 shared principles between the NAACP and the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. On to item 9A. I'll comment because I feel it's my right to have my voice heard too. When I researched the topic a few weeks ago, I shared some of the findings with you, and I stand by those. But in my due diligence, I found that River Forest and surrounding communities could all improve how relevant information is presented on the websites. And I'll volunteer to be in a work group to go through a discovery process with the goal of improving the sharing of information on our village web and report recommendations based on the findings. That's it for that. And I do have something about 9B and C.
Okay. Well, why don't you hold off and then we'll get to you because I don't want to get lost in the comments if that's right. Okay, unless you want to go ahead and talk now.
Nope.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Okay, then. Okay, fair enough. The next one is Mindy Creedy. Mindy? Are you muted? I don't know. I can't see. Oh, okay. I get this.
If you're muted, you may have to hit star 6 to unmute.
All right. Well, I guess we'll come back. I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go
whoever
ahead.
Says star 6. I
that was
good.
John Pape. Thank God he's a technical.
Thank you, John. I'm Mindy Creedy. I've resided at 1452 Park for 20 years. I spoke last week about the board and commission member selection process. And I don't need to repeat my perspective, but I hope that you will consider everyone's perspective, including the administration's, before deciding to make any changes. I'm disappointed that John only wants to give kudos to those that support his perspective. I think we all should have our perspectives acknowledged. Tonight, I turn my attention to the DEI advisory group. There are many nuanced meanings of the words diversity, equity, and inclusion, and I respectfully request that the village board clearly define what each word means individually and collectively. It will help the residents and committee members all get on the same page. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mindy. Okay. That concludes the public comments for item 9A. And so as you see in the packet to the Board of Trustees, this is just the staff seeking some direction. I think you've read my mail letter to John, and you've heard from others on this call and this meeting. I think my recommendation would be to gather residents that are interested in looking to improve this process, because I think we all are interested in improving the process and in ensuring that it's as open and transparent as possible. So I would certainly recommend that we, you know, have staff gather a group of residents, you know, obviously Zoom meetings, as many as, you know, you believe we need to have to gather what we need to gather and to discuss what we need to discuss. You know, come back with a recommendation of sorts that, you know, the board could consider. You know, I think that would be certainly the best possibility. That would be mine, but I'll open it up to the board for your suggestions as well.
Yes, Kathy, this is Patty. If I could, I did prepare some thoughts on this topic. And I would agree with you. I will start with that we need to, and that's essentially what my comments are going to be, is that I am pleased that we're starting this conversation around improving the commission process. It's clear based on the many emails received today that residents agree it's time. Contrary to what was stated in President Ducey's letter to John Grant, as a village trustee, I can say that my experience with the commission process has not been open and transparent. In fact, on more than one occasion, I have advocated to open the process and inform residents when positions are available. I was told that was not necessary because many residents had already applied for positions and were waiting their turn. Also, as a trustee, I've not been notified in advance when seats are vacant. Just this fall, we had a member of the Traffic and Safety Commission step down. I was not aware of this until the appointed replacement to fill the seat appeared on our board agenda for approval. In another instance, prior to the appointments of the DEER committee, I emailed President Ducey and staff asking to see all the applications. That did not happen. Instead, committee members were chosen by the president and only their applications were included in our packet. After quickly reviewing these, I emailed to share my concern that the majority of the committee was drawn from the northwest area of town. At the February 24th meeting, the board verbally agreed to add two members to the committee and formally confirm them at the March 8th meeting, a meeting I was previously scheduled to miss. After that meeting, I was dismayed to learn that one of the two additional members was not subsequently approved by the board, a surprise to me as co-chair of the committee. I was further dismayed to learn of the unprofessional manner in which this resident was treated. I have had extensive conversations with residents who have either been on our commissions or have tried to get an appointment. The common theme has been one of frustration. Most concerning is the feedback from commission members who became disenfranchised when they felt their input was not truly being valued, or that their work was for naught when it was recognized that commission work was hamstrung because of predetermined outcome. In my opinion, the experience by many residents point to a broken process. By not opening and inviting the broader engagement, we limit our potential. We miss opportunities to better inform and enhance our decision-making. I strongly recommend a full review of our commission process and advocate for greater transparency when it comes to future appointments.
Okay. Hey, Kathy. John, I support your the work that you propose. And the only thing that I would ask is when you create a report and you reference sources, could you please just let us know what those sources are? In your memo, you talked about attorneys, municipal officials. I think we'd like to know who those individuals are. So, you know, as we move forward with this, whatever we can do to, you know, not, we just want to have, you know, kind of a general idea of, you know, where the people working on this little project will be getting their training.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. As I said, I think the report should be taken as a first step. So, I don't know that we need to get like too deep into the weeds. I think we should open up and have lots of sources. But I've spoken with Oak Park. I've spoken with Wilmette. I've spoken with clerks. I've spoken with trustees. I've spoken with a lot of residents. Some residents are actually experts on some of these things. So it's a long list, and I'd be happy to share it.
Yep. We'd like to hear from the experts for sure. Let me just make a few comments because I think we always start with a predetermination that something nefarious is going on, which I don't think any of this board would ever consider that. First of all, the board, through our municipal code, gives the authority to the village president to look at the applications and then provide my appointment to the board, at which time the board has the authority to advise and consent. So you can vote yes or you can vote no for the person. The application is provided in your packet of the person. Never in the last 8 years have anybody indicated that this wasn't an open and transparent process. So if there are pieces and parts of this process that need to be considered, I don't think I or any one of our board members here, at least let me know, would ever stop, looking at how to improve. That is who we are. We're always about continuous improvement. So, you know, you've got to stop saying things are purposely broken and it's, you know, wrong. Nothing's purposely broken. Things can always be better. And the municipal code is what has given me the authority and the authority prior to me, to the other village presidents and after me. So I think we have to work as a board in good faith and in honesty about this process. That's why it's on the agenda, because if we can improve it, we should. If we should change it, we should. That's what we're about. We're about doing the right thing for our community. So, yeah, you know, so if anybody else has any other point of view, I'm open to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I too agree that we should review this issue as a board in the public view. I think it merits research by village staff, the board, and residents. And I appreciate John bringing this issue up and following up with staff and the board and Kathy, and also for his specific actionable suggestions based on his research. And I also appreciate the letters from nearly 20 residents that the board received before the meeting today, all supporting us looking further into this. So yes, I think we should research the issue with residents, talking with other municipalities, check in with the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus on best practices, and other research is needed.
Agreed, Katie, absolutely.
Yeah, and I echo Katie's thoughts as well, and want to thank John for bringing this up and having it be something where we can really take a look at this. I do want to make a distinction between best practices and, as John put it, outside of the box ideas, that, you know, some things that maybe are new and working well for other municipalities and villages, but aren't being done certainly like all over the place. I think this is an opportunity for us to maybe be a little dynamic.
Agreed.
I would just like to note, Patty, with regard to the last two members of the DEER committee, you and I, in fact, were consulted. We had agreed between ourselves as to who the new members were, but when it was reported back to Kathy, the two members we agreed on weren't the two members that apparently you advocated for. I don't remember what happened, but we had agreed on two members and then that list had changed. So to say that you weren't consulted with regard to the DEER committee isn't necessarily factual.
We don't need to rehash the whole process because there were details there that.
Yeah, you're the one that raised the issue. I'm just trying to correct
the record. Yeah, you're raising the issue. So if you want to talk about it, let's talk
about
it.
Because it was an issue. We were not given any information about the committee before being appointed. There were two names of people who were suggested, and then those two names were changed.
I don't think this is productive.
I don't either.
We all know what municipal code says, okay? And if we don't, we should read the municipal code. And if you haven't read the municipal code as a trustee, then that's an issue. The municipal code is very clear, okay? I did everything within the municipal code that I was granted to. So I think we have to, again, be clear about the roles that we play and what our code says. Now, John and others, and like Katie said, I welcome the 20 plus people or whatever that have come to us and said, hey, we ought to look at this. I value Jan and Mindy's point of view as well. I want to hear all voices. I want to hear everybody on this issue. And if we can improve it, we will. But we all acted within our rights and our authority of the municipal code. And we've got to believe that and stop blaming everybody, please. So if there's any other further questions or comments.
Yes, Kathy. Kathy, you have. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure. First of all, I was going to also thank John for his report. Although I will join Bob's request. And I know this is not to reflect John's research. I know from John in the past that he's done good research in the past. But I would like to know basically throughout my college and law school, if I cite it to someone, I had to identify who that authority is or what the citation is. So that's all. I want to know who is it that you're coming to allow for additional credibility to the report. That's all. And so I do agree that this is something that we should all talk about, pursue. And I do think, John, your document is something to start a conversation with. So I will appreciate that. But I also wanna caution everybody that I would like this to be a productive discussion as we move forward. I've heard rumors and terms like patronage, and today we heard cronyism. If there's something illegal and inappropriate, then you know, stand out, but I don't wanna hear accusations like that unless they are true and they can be supported, because otherwise this is gonna turn into personal attacks. And I personally don't wanna have a project or an issue looked at in that respect. I'm not attributing it to you, John. I'm just saying this in total for everyone, that if we're gonna look at this, let's look at this objectively, professionally, and respect everybody's opinions, whoever's gonna be on this group and committee to participate in this research. So those are my comments.
And I would love to answer the question, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, you know, to be frank, the best source was, I'm trying to give her a little bit of privacy, but the best source for me was Vicki Skaman, who is running for president in Oak Park. She's the clerk right now. And, you know, I frankly just called her out of the clear blue sky, and she answered the phone, and she proceeded to give me like an hour of her time. And as far as I can tell, she is like a textbook, like an encyclopedia. She knows all these things backwards and forwards. I think it's her background. And then I also talked to Simone Boutette, who was running for president but moved to Washington State. She's in Oak Park as well. And she also was the attorney for Oak Park. I had a nice long conversation with her. I had a second conversation with Vicki Skaman. I spoke with two trustees in Wilmette. Kennedy was one, and the other one I think was Kurzman. And then I, you know, looked at a bunch of websites as well. And then I spoke with some River Forest residents who do a lot of work with not-for-profits and got some expertise. And so that's pretty much the information, but I do want to stress again that I'm not an attorney. I'm not claiming that I've come up with some perfect system. What I'm looking for is for this to be taken seriously. And so I think the little bit of research I've done, you know, is great, but I hope there's a lot more. So at some point, my little bit might be.
Yeah, John. Yep. And we agree. I know Jan did quite a bit of research as well. Right, Jan? I know she had mentioned that she had several conversations. You might want to speak up as well, Jan. Are you there?
Yes, I just unmuted. I did. Yeah. And I have some email, and I had contemporaneous notes on another conversation with a different community mayor's assistant. So I've got some research that I can turn in also. Okay. And then just generally what is stated on various communities' websites. So I never talked to Elmhurst, but their statements are very clear on what they're doing in Elmhurst, and so I can just point anybody to the web pages for these volunteer commissions. So I do have, you know, I can certainly back up what I had published in the journal.
Well, good. So I think this is good. Yes, I mean, we've got lots of good conversation around it. I'm sorry.
Gabby. This is Mindy.
Oh, Mindy, sorry. Go ahead, Mindy.
I'm all for everybody, you know, looking at this process. I'm just perplexed. I mean, like, does anybody review Lori Lightfoot's nominations? Does anybody review Governor Pritzker's? I mean, this whole thing seems like really disingenuous. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm at the point where if I got to get, you know, 20 residents to write letters to say, oh, we don't think this is a bad process, then I'll get my little friends to do it too. But this is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to do that because we're going to go ahead and address this. I want to thank Trustee Vasquez to, again, being professional in your comments. So what I'd like to do is if it's the majority of the board agree, I think it sounds like there are several people on the phone, and perhaps even if you're listening, please let us know if you're interested in being part of a small resident group. I mean, I'm going to let Lisa take the lead. So Lisa, maybe you can explain what might we be able to do this to look at it.
Sure. I certainly think the suggestion of a Zoom meeting, you know, we can certainly hold more than one to make sure we get the most input possible. We're happy to take any input that people have. I know a lot of you have my email address. If you have any research or information or comments that you'd like to share with me in advance, I would absolutely invite you to do that. I too have checked in with a couple colleagues and will continue to do that research. There are different models out there that we might be able to take a look at, and certainly we are open. As you know, with staff, anytime somebody has come to us with a suggestion, the best idea wins. And so we are always open to suggestions for how we can improve how we communicate with people. So any variety of things that we can do, we are certainly happy to review all of that and present some analysis to the Village Board. I would ask that we get a little bit of time to do this. I think it's going to take some time to coordinate the Zoom meetings and just quite frankly, with other projects like the budget, obviously that has to take front and center. So I would ask for a little bit of time to do this. I think we can come back to the board, I would say in about 90 days, in about 3 months with some analysis after we have a chance to talk to everybody and do some review and put those things together.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa. Okay. Lisa, can you throw a blurb? Can you throw a blurb in the newsletter this week to see if there's any other residents that'd like to participate?
Oh yeah. I mean, certainly. We'll definitely widen. You know, anybody. You know, we'll do whatever we need to do to make sure we get the best and the brightest suggestions in mind. We want that. I want to be clear to everybody listening in on our meeting that, you know, we are working very hard to keep, you know, our processes open and transparent. There's never been I've ever heard staff or anybody that I've been associated with, board member myself, that says, you know, we don't want to tell anybody. So that is not who we are. We work hard on behalf of the residents, and we will continue to work hard on behalf of the residents every day. So thank you. So unless I hear anything different, I'm just going to look around. If the board is okay with what Lisa said, then I will go ahead and give her that direction. Okay.
Thank you.
So you have that direction. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're moving on to 9B. This is a motion. So I'd like to have a trustee move and another second this 9B, please.
I move to adopt a resolution establishing a diversity, equity, and inclusion ad hoc advisory group.
Second.
I'm hoping Katie's going to second it. All right. So very good. That's all right. We'll co-second it with you, Katie. Okay. Well, this is great. This is a great place to be. I hope everyone read it. Before we talk, I know we've got a few other speakers, so I will ask Jan, you've asked to talk about B as well, so if you'd like to speak.
Yeah, Mindy stole my thunder, so she did. It took me more sentences to say what she said. I wholeheartedly agree that we need those three words clearly defined. So we're not, because it's easy to confuse the words and you get other words in there. So I ditto Mindy.
Okay.
For the definitions of the three words.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll look at that when we get to the resolution and maybe just refer back to it. We also have Paul Simpson. Paul, if you want to speak, this is the time to do so. I see you. Don't hear you, though. Star six. There you go.
My colleague, Sheila Radford-Hill, I believe wishes to speak, and I would like to waive my right to do so. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Yeah, she's last on the list. So Clinton, we got Clinton Nichols. I just wanted to make sure we caught everyone. Clinton, is that the yeah. same?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, good evening. I have a prepared remarks that I will just read. So good evening, board members and village residents. My name is Clinton Nichols, and my employment as faculty in the sociology and criminology department at Dominican University has brought me to River Forest regularly since 2013. So I'm speaking in support of the resolution establishing a diversity, equity, and inclusion ad hoc advisory group and approval of a diversity, equity, and inclusion ad hoc advisory group application form. The creation of the DEI ad hoc advisory group will facilitate the village government's internal reflection on policies and practices. The advisory group will also bring clarity about how the village can engage with and strengthen ties to community partners and initiatives like Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation at Dominican University. For the most part, my experience dining, shopping, and moving through River Forest has been pleasant. I know that is not true for everyone. I look forward to working with the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Ad Hoc Advisory Group in identifying and removing barriers to River Forest becoming a more welcoming community to all. Thank you.
Thank you, Clinton. Thank you so much. Great to hear. Sheila, welcome.
Thank you, President Aducci, and thank you, trustees, residents, and guests, for your time and attention on this statement I'm planning to read. My name is Sheila Radford-Hill. I live in River Forest at 414 Clinton, and I am the former CDO at Dominican University. And I should say, stepping away from my prepared remarks, that I firmly believe that definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion should be clear to all, and that there should be definitions that we can agree with. And fortunately, Dominican, I would say, has several definitions that we can look at, and that might be a good place to start when we get to that point. Now, I'll go back to my prepared remarks to say that the proposed DEI ad hoc advisory group advances the important work of the Welcoming Community Resolution and the Maywood Covenant. As a River Forest resident, I support this DEI proposal because a fully functioning advisory board is needed to strengthen the anti-racist work in River Forest and the work with Dominican University. As River Forest analyzes its policies and programs using an equity lens, the village can meet our students where they are, meaning Dominican students where they are, and see them as assets to our way of life. And they can also do the same with our Concordia students. The DEI ad hoc advisory group says that our community is committed to racial justice and actively embraces this pursuit with urgency, integrity, and transparency. With DEI resolutions and the application, like the one the village will hopefully approve tonight, local leaders can decide to break down barriers between neighbors and build bridges to connect us. Specifically in River Forest, the DEI work will allow local residents to share social capital and networks with those that have been historically marginalized. And that sharing will support the Maywood Covenant, the Dominican and Concordia communities, and all residents so that we may reap the benefits of diversity and inclusion. Our recent and upcoming elections will be held in an America struggling to redefine itself. We are a nation that has to decide whether we will embrace a multicultural, multiracial, multiethnic, intergenerational, interfaith future that welcomes all people of different abilities, gender identities, and sexual orientations? Or will we become America more concerned with protecting itself from its neighbors, especially those from different backgrounds? Make no mistake, the struggle over who Americans are, what our priorities are, and whether our democratic values will prevail will be decided in local communities like ours, and in local committees like the ad hoc, the DEI ad hoc advisory group. The board must choose to approve this resolution so River Forest can make good on its commitment to being a more welcoming community and creating a more just America in the process. I will make the items of the comments available to the village administration. Thank you.
Well said, Sheila.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sheila. Okay, I think that concludes the public comment of 9B and 9C. So I will go ahead and open it up to the board on any questions or comments regarding the resolution. It's pretty much what we talked about, I think, last board meeting in terms of the goals, missions, and the purpose. It also talks through the process as well. We kept the membership open because we all agreed, I think, that would be the best at this point in time. Now, as far as the DEI, so we can address that, I think the best place to do that is once the advisory group is constituted and put together. I think at that point in time they should identify, unless I hear differently, that's probably when those definitions should occur, so that we do have a clear indication of what those words mean. So any questions? I'll just open it up.
Yeah, question.
I have a question. I want to go back to the mission thing.
Sorry, Pam.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bob.
It's okay.
I want to revisit something that I brought up during our last meeting, and I'd like our village attorney to weigh in on this. I'm still struggling with this group and focusing on things around employment, and I'm really struggling because I'm just, you know, when we talk about hiring and firing practices, I'm really concerned about what liability having a group like this make those kind of policies brings to the table. So I'd really like to hear from our village attorney on that one, if possible.
Yeah, go ahead, but I think Lisa could address it too.
Yeah, so I can give the legal perspective, but then I'd turn it over to Lisa from the practical staff perspective. From a legal perspective, there are certain documents and information that the village holds about its employees that are confidential that this group would not have access to because they're not exercising the human resources function within the village. These would be things like HIPAA-protected medical information and other items related to certain kinds of employee discipline and performance that are not otherwise publicly available. This advisory group, once created, would have really no greater access to information than the general public in this regard. And I think Lisa can give you some ideas of the kinds of information that may or may not be available to the group within that legal framework.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Bob, I understand, I think, where you're coming from on this. And if you're looking Erica and Katie and I, and Eric when he was here, had a really great conversation, and I expressed some of those issues. And certainly, I think Katie and Erica were very clear that they're not, that they weren't, and please correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm misstating something that you said, Katie or Erica, but I don't think that was necessarily what their intent was. I think the focus is really on ensuring that we are utilizing best practices to ensure that we have a wide diversity of qualified candidates. That is an organization that we are taking diversity initiatives and hiring seriously. That is an organization we take diversity as it relates to employee retention and the type of culture that we're creating very seriously. And I couldn't agree with them more. I think those are absolutely the things that we should be focusing on. To the extent that someone wants to come in and take a look at how we handle complaints of harassment or any type of complaint based on a protected status, I am more than happy to walk through what our process is when those kinds of complaints come in. Fortunately, they are extremely rare in our organization. I think we do a good job of training our employees and setting expectations for culture and behavior. But to the extent that those complaints have existed, I'm more than happy to talk about what we do when those things occur so that you as a board and, quite frankly, the community are comfortable that we're representing the values of the community and how we run the organization.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to firing and talking about employee disciplinary issues, again, certainly a lot of that information is confidential. But I think this is also an opportunity for public education when we talk about, for instance, the Uniformed Peace Officers Disciplinary Act, the difference between formal and informal inquiries when you're operating in a union environment, the concept of the 7 tests of just cause for discipline, and what practices and policies we follow formally and informally, and what statutory requirements we have to follow when we have employee performance issues. So I'm more than happy to talk about all of that because I think there's just a lot of information that people don't know unless they do this for a living, and that's completely okay. And so I have no issue with any of that. I'm happy to kind of open the books on what, how we do what we do.
Yep.
Obviously, the confidential information has to remain confidential, but I don't think that was necessarily what Katie and Erica were talking about. And the other thing I would say, too, is to the extent, you know, we're coming into this with a growth mindset. To the extent that there are things that we can do to enhance our operations and to live our values more clearly, to live our culture more clearly, I'm happy to take those suggestions because sometimes when you're doing this day in and day out, there might be things that you miss or overlook that are as plain as the nose on your face, but somebody else pointing it out is extraordinarily valuable. So I think that having that input is a wonderful opportunity, and we embrace that, and I'm really looking forward to it. So there may be different policies and practices that come up, and that's okay. There is a personnel policy manual that we follow and that this board approves.
Right.
So anytime we want to amend it, this board ultimately reviews that document and amends it.
Right, and again, this is not a group.
Wait, Bob, are you talking? Hang on, is that you, Bob?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, well, hang on. Is this a follow-on question for? Because there's others that want to talk. So is this a follow-on question?
I just want to finish my thought. So yes.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Again, this is a group that is going to be phase one of this. This is something that's going to go on for a long period of time. So again, I just want to make sure that we're thinking of it in that lens that, you know, this is not something that's coming today and going tomorrow. This is something that we're going to live with for, you know, for a period of time. So I just want some clarity on that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Okay, good, so, thank you. Okay, so, I think Patty was up next, Katie. Okay, Patty.
Yes, okay. Few comments I'd like to make. First, I do want to thank Sheila for your very powerful statement there. I think what you said was very important for all of us to hear. And on top of that, Lisa, I want to thank you for that comment around growth mindset. I think that's also a very important thing for all of us to keep in our minds. We're all looking at this together, right? We're all going to work at this as a team with an open mind to do it for the right reasons and to grow from it. So that I think is a very important way to see this, is that it's not to get defensive and to be being overly critical of things. It's to have that growth so that we can all do better. In terms of the definition, so I would love to see this resolution get approved, so I don't want to necessarily delay it with the definitions, although I will say that I think it's appropriate for the definitions to be in the resolution. So I guess my recommendation would be, if we were to vote on this tonight, is that once we decided on the definitions, that we take the next step to amend the resolution and have those definitions then added to it at that point. The other point I'd like to make is regarding the application. I think just for an efficiency standpoint, to get a sense of the availability of potential committee members, would be to maybe add a question regarding availability, like daytime, evening preference. Just might be helpful. One less question at the front end. Or, I mean, once things are decided, this might make it easier.
Good one. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Yeah. Okay.
That's it for now.
All right, real good. Okay, Katie?
Yep. I just wanted to say yes to Lisa. That was my recollection of the substance and spirit of the conversation. You said it better than I probably could have. And your comments really just proved to me that, well, first of all, how fortunate we are to have you as our acting chief administrator, but also you're going to be on this advisory group, and you have all this background and knowledge about, you know, the laws and the rules, and you have a lot of background in human resources. So I'm sure we won't be making any steps that have been that Bob had expressed a concern about. Patty, I think that the idea to agree with the idea to approve the tonight and then circle back with the definitions, as Sheila Radford Hill had suggested. She suggested some resources on that. And we have to go back and add the number of members in anyway. So we're going to have to go back to the resolution and amend it at some point anyhow.
So let me ask a question on that though, Katie. Do you want us to do the definitions of the DEI, us being the board, or do you want the members?
I think it's appropriate. It would be a wonderful first step for the advisory group to work on that.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Okay, and that's what I think I said, is let the group kind of decide, and then, right, and then, okay, very good. I think we're in agreement with that. All right, I'm sorry.
That was my thought as well. It does make sense for the group to define those terms, but given that those terms will guide their conduct, I think it's important that their definitions be ratified by the village board subsequently.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
And I would agree with that too, because it's going to, we need to be on the same page, the board, the advisory group, et cetera. So I think that's very important, and we can come back to revising the resolution when we get to that point. And I agree with Katie, because we still got to fill in the number once we get the applicants. So I'm fine with that. I was going to almost highlight what Lisa said, because it is important. I think this is going to be informative, not only from the village side, but also from the advisory group side, because one thing that is going to be, and I think you touched upon it, Lisa, is we do have collective bargaining agreements that spell out grievance, this grievance process, disciplinary process, et cetera. And that is a long negotiable item that's really, I almost want to say, not totally within our control, because that's something we have to negotiate with each of our unions. So that's gonna set some stage too about how much we could do regarding our represented employees. So I think this process is gonna help both sides and understanding that as well. And where we have room to move and we all agree, that'd be something that we can approach as well. So I think that's great. I think we should go ahead and move forward. Just a little typo on the application, number 5, we probably want to say, why are you interested, instead of why do you interested? So just a little wordsmith, that's all.
That's all right, every bit counts. Okay, thank you, Red. Katie, will you finish? I'm sorry, I know, were you finished?
I was finished.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Yeah, and I agree with those sentiments. Thank you, Jan, for sending us that information. I really appreciate that. And I think the group is the best place to get that started. Bob, I really appreciate your questions around the work of it. And honestly, you know, this has been a group effort to get us to this point. And I do want to thank everybody who's participated in this, who Katie and I spoke with around this, who provided insight and attended the initial Village Covenant meet and greet, who's gone to the Dominican events as well. This has been a collective effort, and so many of our people in our community have been working on this, and I know that we'll take that spirit into the work ahead around this advisory group. I did have one comment on the resolution, Lisa, for item F. I think I would like to see the in the last sentence here, it says the advisory group shall submit a final report on the initiative to the village president and board of trustees. I do think that should be an initial report. Instead of no later than, and then a 2021 date, I think that is asking a lot of a new advisory group. So maybe just put when possible, as soon as possible, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to have a date. Yep. So this resolution okay. just yep. follows kind of what we've done yep. for, I would say like Age Friendly is a good example, but yeah, this is the board commission.
So Erica and I talked about that, and I think Erica's completely right. You know, it's sure. probably an initial report, and then somewhere down the long, you know, where we get a final report or a report that's sure. more in final form. So yeah, thank you, Erica, for...
Yeah, and then so just in that first sentence then to the advisory yeah. group shall submit maybe updates instead of reports on the initiative.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. Thanks. Okay, just a couple of comments from me. As Sheila mentioned and all of you have mentioned, this is a cause for celebration. I know we're going to pass this unanimously, hopefully. And this is the start of a journey. It started months ago. I'm energized. We're energized. And I am committed to it. I know we're all committed to it. We're looking forward to it, no matter how challenging or painful it may be. We are all committed to inclusion and equitable treatment in all aspects of civic life. I do want to thank Trustee Bachner and Trustee Brennan for your dedication and your help through this process. I believe it was a very nice process, and we got here, I think even the Wednesday Journal said, quicker than most organizations get there, because I think we're all out there we're all on the same page and we're all working together. So I appreciate your professionalism along this way. I also want to say we must be involved. We all must be involved in this process with civil and thoughtful and constructive dialogue, with respect for each other's opinions and values, that we must take all this as adults without retribution. And we must open our minds and listen and be ready to make this work for all of us in our community. There is a lot to do, and we must engage all taxing bodies. I'm encouraging that we work with District 90 and District 200 as well, which of course embarked on this effort several years ago. And I'd like to see us broaden the difficult work to turn back all forms of bigotry. Hate is a virus, and we all have the responsibility to take it on in any form against anyone. And a very nice resident emailed me and it had, acknowledging the worth and dignity of each individual is who we are in River Forest. And that is true. And so I am personally proud of our commitment to this undertaking. And I want to thank the board, the residents, Dominican University, and everybody involved to get us to this point. So I ask the clerk to please take the vote. Yes. Yeah. We won't have that.
Okay.
it's going to stay blank until we do the application.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Trustee Bachner?
I just want, before we move, I just want to make sure that the person who moved in second are okay with the changes that we talked about, which was what Trustee Bachner suggested, what Trustee Vasquez suggested.
As a co-seconder, I'm okay with it.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Rez, you're okay?
Yes, I am.
I'm good with the changes.
Very good. All right, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we got that recorded. Okay.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Happily and proudly, yes.
And Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. All right, very good. Again, 9C is the approval of the application form. Again, sounds like we're okay with that as well, based on some of the comments that we were given. So unless I hear anything different, we'll have the staff go ahead and we'll send out the application form, put a cover letter to it, and send it out to our residents via, you know, newsletter and whatever else form of media that we can do it. Yeah, to ensure that we get the widest, you know, look.
Can the form be edited to reflect the availability like Patty suggested?
Yes, we're going to change all that. Yes. So we're going to do what everyone suggested. Yes, we're going to take all that into consideration.
And as we do that, maybe just make sure that to mention that won't prohibit anybody from necessarily joining in. Right. So if you can only do days, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to participate.
Okay. Good point. Okay. Well, that's it's great. Thank you very much. That kind of concludes our board meeting tonight. Well done. Thank you very much. And so if I can get a motion to adjourn in a second.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Do we not need to officially vote on the application since that was a separate?
No, just a direction. No.
Okay.
Direction.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
And Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Okay, good. Very good. Good night, everyone, and enjoy your evening.